spells jewelry. I'm taking Pastor Steve's line. All right, folks, welcome to Bloodlines. Today is October 15th, 2017. And the next couple of three shows on Bloodlines are going to be devoted to Martin Luther and the significant change called the Reformation that Martin Luther was responsible for. Obviously, there were many others. But when he nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church on October 31st, 1517, exactly 500 years ago, we have to celebrate that event because this is going to be the 500-year anniversary of Martin Luther nailing those theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. But first, I'm going to give you an update on Pastor Steve. He had his surgery last Monday. It went well. It was a five-hour surgery, and he's still hooked up to tubes. I think he's getting intravenous feeding. Leroy visited him yesterday and stayed for about an hour and a half. Told me he's doing good. He's sitting upright. They're allowing him to eat ice chips, and it'll be no time before he's eating potato chips. I don't know if he eats potato chips. I don't think he does. But whatever his dietary problems were before, I'm sure it's going to be those are going to be corrected. And let's face it, all of us eat garbage food and junk food, and we don't know what it's doing to us. By the way, Ted Midward and I did a show on the industrial diet, which will be aired at his time slot Monday, and I haven't had a chance to look at that. I think it's 5 or 6 o'clock on Monday, a two-hour show. And we're going to talk about the correlation between chemtrails and the horrible diseases and the poisoning of water, poisoning of the earth, diseases people get from these chemtrails, and the relationship to the fires in California, which are very unnatural, folks, very unnatural. So the report from Leroy is very encouraging, and I actually talked with Pastor Steve by telephone yesterday. We had about a 20-minute conversation. I told him he was very coherent. He was very coherent, more coherent than I expected him to be under the circumstances. Still hooked up to tubes. He says he looked at his chest and his chest looks like a mess. He said he's still in a lot of pain. And I think what they used to give us morphine and these addictive drugs to kill pain, but I think the medical profession realized that it's not only a matter of potentially getting people addicted to these drugs. I really wonder if these addictive drugs have a negative effect on the body and actually inhibit healing. So it was my experience when I had my knee surgery. I had 3 days of really intense pain. And I asked the doctor, why don't you give me something to kill the pain? And he was kind of, gave me a non-answer. And so I think they've realized that some of these addictive drugs do more harm than good. And sadists. They're not sadists, but they're doing what's best for us. I told Steve that they're doing the best for you. But his main complaint was that they're not telling him what's going on. So I said, well, they have to be cautious. They don't want to give you false hope, nor do they want to alarm you by telling you that this is going wrong, that's going wrong. I guess they have the machines. If the alarms go off on the machines, that's all he needs to know. So the reports thus far are very encouraging. He even cracked a couple of jokes during our telephone call. So everything is looking like Pastor Steve is going to be with us for the duration. And I know, just as I believe, and Steve believes, and he wants to be around here in the flesh when we are translated into our glory bodies, praise Yahweh, at the second coming. Paul tells us we will be translated in an instant into our glory bodies when that day comes. And I want to be here for that. I want to be able to experience that. And Pastor Steve does as well. So I'm going to do a quick prayer. Father Yahweh, we ask that your angels and your healing power and the healing power of your son, Yahshua Messiah, be with Pastor Steve for the duration, for the recovery, and that you guide him and keep him healthy, protect him, have your protecting angels and healing angels with him at all times, and guide the staff there at the hospital to get him through this trying and difficult period of heart surgery, and that he fully recovers and becomes part of the staff of Eurofolk Radio once again, full health and with enthusiasm and energy and fully in the spirit with us. We ask you this in the name of your son, Yahshua. Amen. So folks, encouraging report from my personally speaking with him and from Leroy as well, who was able to gauge his physical. He said his face is rosy. Okay. And so it means there's at least there's blood in his face, right? So we're anticipating a full recovery, and keep him in your prayers. Absolutely, please keep him in your prayers. Sussex man says potato crisps are not good. Yes. And for some reason, I tried to put the link to yesterday's Restoration Hour show, in which I exposed the fact that the Jewish criminals, Chertoff and Adelson, were behind the attack at Las Vegas. And praise Yahweh, more and more people are outing the Rothschilds and the Jewish mafia. That's basically what it is, the Jewish mafia that controls politics around the world. More and more people are producing videos outing these Jews for the criminals that they are, for the mass murderers that they are, and for the false events that they create, in which they actually sacrifice human beings to blame it on somebody else. In this case, they try to blame it, you know, it's always blamed on white nationalists, even though the people being killed were white, and they blame it on the Second Amendment. So that file is there on our YouTube channel, which is www.youtube.com/Eurofolk Radio. I tried to post it in the chat room, but it wouldn't stick. So that's where to go for that. And also, on One-to-One, I did an interview with two South Africans, Theans Cleote, who has a website called borvokradio.com, and another South African, Jan, from South Africa. I didn't want to give his last name out because I didn't want to put him in any danger. But we talked about the Jews and the genocide of the white people of South Africa, specifically the Boer. The Jews and the genocide of the Boer people. Very detailed, clear history of Jews involved in genociding the Boer people. And that was the blueprint. The genocide of the Boer people by the Jews in South Africa is the blueprint for what the Jews are doing here in America. And of course, we all know that the Bolshevik Revolution was staged by Jews, Talmudic Jews, secret society Jews, and the exterminated 180 million white people in the Bolshevik Revolution. And people are finally waking up. And I just watched a video that I shared with people on Skype, an anti-evolution video. I forget the gentleman's name, but he's a evolutionary. He used to be an evolutionist, but he's a geneticist. And his study of genetics revealed to him that there's no way that DNA or even amino acids could evolve. These molecules, which are the building blocks of life, are just far too complex to spontaneously organize. In other words, the theory of evolution is so simplistic that it cannot explain even the formation of amino acids. And he actually mentioned the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds are the ones pushing the theory of evolution, creating a lot of atheists and agnostics. I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled that there's so many people coming out and outing the Rothschilds and other Jews for the criminality that they constantly do. Okay? Yeah, Pastor Steve has a lot of tubes still sticking in him, right? And I'm sure at this point in time, they'll remove the tubes as needed, so I'm sure there's intravenous feeding. I asked him, but I couldn't understand his response because I was in traffic and didn't want to talk too long in traffic. So, but the bottom line is he's doing well, and I'm sure they'll remove each tube as it's no longer required, okay? I'm sure a lot of you others, if you've been hit by a truck, you've had a lot of tubes sticking in your body in the recovery room. So, but let's continue. I want to focus on Martin Luther, and I'm going to first talk about the highlights from Luther's 95 Theses. And, of course, this is the 500th anniversary. Sip of tea here. 500th anniversary of the 95 Theses, which actually created a firestorm around the Roman Church. The Roman Catholic Church, which has never been Christian, the Roman Church has always been a method of lording it over the people by creating superstitions and by teaching false doctrine. This is why the Roman Church tried to prevent the translation of the Bible into the languages of Europe and tried to maintain Latin, and only certain scholars and, of course, the clergy, the Roman Catholic clergy, would understand Latin. So the people were kept in the dark as to what the Bible was actually teaching. And in the book of Revelation, it talks about this, that the little book, the episode of the little book in the book of Revelation says that the people would digest the little book. Of course, that was a reference to the printing press, the coming of the printing press, which turned this gigantic book, you know, which was really heavy and needed a forklift to carry it around. And it was finally the printing press enabled the printing of the Bible into a small book. And even then, it was still expensive. Only the richest of the rich and lords, the feudal lords, and the kings and queens were able to purchase a copy. But nevertheless, this enabled non-Catholics or ordinary people to read the Bible for themselves. And it said when they first ate it, it tasted sweet because, praise Yahweh, we finally get to read it in our own languages, and they were happy, and it's like having a big dose of sugar, right? It tastes sweet. But when it got to the belly, their bellies turned bitter. Why did they turn bitter? Because they realized that the Catholic Church had been lying to them for centuries about the true contents of the Bible. So I'm going to quote here from a website called the mysteryoffaithblog.com. Luther's 95 Theses, which is, I just picked a summary of his teachings because I didn't want to go through all of it. I want to focus more today on the Jews and their lies because it's more relevant today. The Jews have a monopoly on faith. They control the minds of Judeo-Christians who falsely believe that they are God's chosen people. They have done the same with atheists and agnostics. And to the atheists and agnostics, the Bible has become irrelevant, which is exactly what the Jews want from them. And from the Judeo-Christians, they want them to believe that they are God's chosen people. We know that both are lies, and that the true Christian religion is called Christian identity. And there is, and then also tomorrow I have a scheduled debate with another person who is going to broadcast that show. I'm not sure if that's going to be live or recorded, but it'll be available shortly after tomorrow's recording. All right, so from this article, it's been almost 500 years since Martin Luther posted his 95 Theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church. Yet there are many misconceptions about what he was saying, trying to do, and what he was upset about. First of all, Luther posted these as an invitation to debate and discussion. They were disputations, not as a declaration of war or separation from the church, and that's absolutely correct. Luther intended to reform the Catholic Church because there was a lot of error. Paul English says, thankfully, there's no intravenous cheeseburgers, right? Yeah. If they had that, they would be no flavor from those. Well, let's continue. But secondly, his harshest words for the Pope would come later. But secondly, what Luther objected most to were the expanded powers of the medieval church had claimed, exploiting the ignorance and superstition of the people. For example, Luther argued that while repentance is indeed part of the whole of Christian life, the Pope doesn't offer anything other than what God offers us in Christ. And of course, all of these sacraments, confession and baptism, and of course they do baptism wrong. They don't immerse, which is the biblical prescription. Baptismo means immerse. It doesn't mean sprinkle. And other rituals that the Catholic Church invented, confirmation, you name it, they just invented a bunch of rituals that are not in the Bible, are not prescribed by the Bible. So the whole of the Catholic Church from the Council of Nicaea forward is nothing but, for, number one, compromising with paganism because Constantine didn't want to rile up the pagans in the empire. So that's why they created Sunday, because that was the worship of the sun, Sunday, right? And Easter, Christmas, which again relates to the sun, the day of the invincible sun, December 25th. And we know that Yeshua was born in the fall, not in the spring. I'm sorry, not in the winter. So there's all of these things that the Catholic Church simply made up. And plus it kept people in ignorance about the Bible because it prevented them from reading it. Okay? So, and he continues, moreover, it was not the sale of indulgences that got Luther riled up. It was the sale of plenary indulgences. What's the difference? Plenary indulgences offered blanket forgiveness from all penalties for all sins, even for the dead. So it's like antinomianism, but you have to pay for it. Okay? It's antinomianism with a price, because what do the so-called Protestant churches teach today? They teach that you were all forgiven at Calvary, the day that Christ died, and there's no more sin. You don't have to repent. If there's no sin, there's no need for repentance. But Martin Luther taught repentance is absolutely necessary. So you see now, just as the Catholic Church had corrupted the Bible, so have the daughters of Rome, namely the Protestant churches, corrupted the Bible as well. So he says, read Disputations 1, 6, 20 through 21, and 27. So we will confine today's study on the 95 Theses to these small sections. Quote, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said repent in Matthew 4:17, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. He doesn't say you could go on sinning. And for every sin that you commit, you should be ready to repent. Verse number 6, the Pope cannot remit any guilt except by declaring and showing that it has been remitted by God. Right? Luther taught there's only one intercessor between us and Yahweh, and that is Yeshua. No stinking Pope or Catholic priest has the power to forgive your sins. Or to be sure, by remitting guilt in cases reserved to his judgment. If his right to grant remission in these cases were disregarded, the guilt would certainly remain unforgiven. That is, if Yahweh doesn't forgive you, it doesn't matter what a priest says. Therefore, the Pope, when he uses the words plenary remission of all penalties, does not actually mean all penalties, but only those imposed by himself. All right, so if you sinned against the Pope, he could forgive that, but he can't forgive crimes you commit against other people. That's your business. That's between you and that person. And if you commit sins against Yahweh, that's between you and Yahweh. The Pope has nothing to do with it, nor does the Catholic Church. Number 21. Thus, those indulgence preachers are in error who say that a man is absolved from every penalty and saved by PayPal indulgences. Oh, man. And saved by papal indulgences. Well, PayPal is no longer indulging us, folks, sorry to say. And we're going to have to figure out another way to take donations here. But you can go, by the way, I should mention our sister site, www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, anglo-saxonisrael.com, and our PayPal account is still working there if you'd like to donate to our efforts here. And we're working on getting a credit card system, and if you want to donate by check, you can, or even cash, you can send a check, make it out to ANP, which stands for American National Publishing, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. I'll repeat that, ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. Okay, and so we're seeing that Sussex Man says the Vatican was in hock to the bankers already. So they needed indulgences to pay their debts to the Jews, right? Very good. Thank you, Sussex Man. All right. So, and why? Oh, okay. Hold on. I don't want to skip any of these. Number 27. They preach only human doctrines who say that as soon as the money clinks into the money chest, the soul flies out of purgatory. This is what the Catholic Church was teaching, that you can get out of jail free by bribing the church. And why was Luther concerned with this expanded power of the medieval church to offer plenary indulgences? One of the reasons was his fear that this would teach people to ignore love and acts of charity toward people in need. All right, now, you've probably heard it said that Martin Luther taught faith only and he condemned works. Absolutely not. That's a lie. I don't know where people come up with this stuff. Martin Luther was a Nomian. He taught that we should keep Yahweh's laws. Yet we have liars going out and saying, oh, he didn't believe in good works. Well, this is the exact opposite. Let me repeat this. One of the reasons was his fear that this would teach people to ignore love and acts of charity toward people in need. In other words, a Christian may begin to believe that he or she need not actually care for the poor. They could just buy an indulgence and check the box for their good works. So when Martin Luther is talking about works, he's talking about the works of the Catholic Church. He's not talking about good works or charitable works. He says this is part of the Christian duty. Luther, after all, famously argued that while we are not saved by good works, we are saved for good works. Read Disputations 41 through 51. So let's read these. Papal indulgences must be preached with caution, lest people erroneously think that they are preferable to other good works of love. If you can buy your way out of hell, people will do that. 42. Christians are to be taught that the Pope does not intend that the buying of indulgences should in any way be compared with works of mercy. Yeah, they should be taught that, but they weren't being taught that. 43. Christians are to be taught that he who gives to the poor or lends to the needy does a better deed than he who buys indulgences. Indeed, because the indulgences don't get you out of hell or purgatory or whatever. 44. Because love grows by works of love. Well, I have to think of the New Agers today who think, but by mere good intentions, the world will be a better place. No, you've got to do good works. Because love grows by works of love, man thereby becomes better. Man does not, however, become better by means of indulgences or by mere thinking about it, but is merely freed from penalties. And of course, if you are a Roman Catholic, if you think that just going to church and dropping a few shekels in the basket and lighting a few candles is going to get people out of hell or make the world a better place, I'm sorry. You actually have to get down to brass tacks and do something about the problem. Just thinking about it and wishing it got better is not going to work, New Agers. So in this sense, a lot of Judeo-Christians are just like New Agers. 45. Christians are to be taught that he who sees a needy man and passes him by, yet gives his money for indulgences, does not buy papal indulgence but God's wrath. How about the parable of the Good Samaritan? This is what Martin Luther is being influenced by, the parable of the Good Samaritan. You're supposed to do good works. 46. Christians are to be taught that unless they have more than they need, they must reserve enough for their family needs and by no means squander it on indulgences. And here he's relying on Paul again, because Paul said, he who would not work should not eat, and a man who wouldn't take care of his family is an infidel. All you antinomians, pay attention. 47. Christians are to be taught that the buying of indulgences is a matter of free choice, not commanded. Obviously, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you need to purchase indulgences. 48. Christians are to be taught that the Pope, in granting indulgences, needs and thus desires their devout prayer more than their money. Yeah, the Pope needs their prayers too, so it'll straighten out, but that never happened. 49. Christians are to be taught that papal indulgences are useful only if they do not put their trust in them, but very harmful if they lose their fear of God because of them. So, Martin Luther is saying, hey, you're paying way too much attention to these papal rituals and papal sacrifices and offerings, and you're not doing what the Bible teaches. But the people didn't even know what the Bible teaches, because the only version of the Bible they got was the papal version. Number 50. Christians are to be taught that if the Pope knew the exactions of the indulgence preachers, he would rather that the Basilica of St. Peter were burned to ashes than built up with the skin, flesh, and bones of his sheep. And so I'm not exactly sure what he's getting at here, but maybe a little bit of graft, skimming from the indulgence pie. Number 51. Christians are to be taught that the Pope would and should wish to give of his own money. Yeah, how about the Rothschilds donating to the poor with their trillions? No, they won't do that. They just use the money to create more wars and to create more debt and create more poverty. Christians are to be taught that the Pope would and should wish to give of his own money, even though he had to sell the Basilica of St. Peter to many of those from whom certain hawkers of indulgences cajole money. It was a scam, folks. A pure scam. Then, in a shrewd act, in a shrewd bit of logic and sarcasm, Luther says that in claiming these expanded powers, the Pope opens himself up to criticism. After all, If he had the power to empty purgatory, why not do it out of love instead of a desire for money? Well, you got to tuck point the bricks, right? Read Disputations 81 through 82. 81. This unbridled preaching of indulgences makes it difficult even for learned men to rescue the reverence which is due the Pope from slander or from the shrewd questions of the laity. Yeah, why is he doing this? This doesn't seem to be very spiritual, let alone moral. 82, such as, why does not the Pope empty purgatory for the sake of holy love and the dire need of the souls that are there if he redeems an infinite number of souls for the sake of a miserable money with which to build a church? The former reason would be the most just, the latter most trivial. Well, yeah, if the business of the church is to save souls, and didn't Yahshua say in his first sermon to clothe the naked, feed the hungry, set the prisoners free? Well, the church wasn't feeding the hungry, wasn't clothing the naked, and it was creating prisoners. So the Roman church was doing the exact opposite of what Yahshua commanded. Finally, as Audrey Assad pointed out to me, when you read Disputations 94 to 95 below, it seems Luther was concerned with the assurance of peace and salvation being granted with no demands on our life. Well, let's see what he says here. While we may have many things to say about the mistakes of the medieval church, this is a mistake that today many Protestants tend to drift into. No, I think he's talking about antinomianism. 94. Christians should be exhorted to be diligent in following Christ, their head, through penalties, death, and hell. Okay. Through penalties, death, and hell. So you should be prepared to fight against all obstacles, against all frauds, etc. 95. And thus be confident of entering into heaven through many tribulations, which is what Paul teaches. You shall have tribulation. It's no easy road. The easy path is that which is being taught by the churches today. And actually, so was the Catholic Church. The easy road was to throw a couple shekels in the basket. And thus be confident of entering into heaven through many tribulations, rather than through the false security of peace. And he references Acts 14:22. Okay, so they ask the question here, what parallels do you see in the church today? Yes, the daughters of Rome have become just like Rome in teaching antinomianism, which is a totally false doctrine. Okay, and I posted the link of the next article, The Jews and Their Lies, and you can find this at www.biblebelievers.org.au/luther.htm, or just do a search on Martin Luther's The Jews and Their Lies, and this link will appear, it's, I think, the fourth or fifth item in a global search. But now, because today we're dealing with another version of the Roman Church had the power of life and death over the entire world that they controlled. And if you did not abide by the Roman Church's teachings, they had the power of the interdict and they had the power of excommunication. In either case, you were ostracized and you were economically out. So unless you had your own farm and could produce your own food and build your own house, you could not have intercourse, social intercourse, with your neighbors or with your town. Or so you had to flee from the influence of the Roman Church. Well, the Jews have done the same thing throughout the world today. The mark of the beast, they had the power to take down our PayPal account. They have the power to take your Facebook account down, which they have done to me several times, which is currently the case. I can't even post on my own Facebook account. This is the power they have. And they have the power of life and death. As all the wars they create and the false flags they create. They just murdered 60 people in Las Vegas and try to blame it on white nationalists and on the Second Amendment. This is the world we live in. This is the type of world that Martin Luther was living in those days. But the ruling power in those days was the Roman Church. Today, it's global Jewry. And just as in those days, the crimes of the Roman Church had to be made public, we here at Christian Identity and at Your Folk Radio are making the crimes of the Jews public because they are the new Antichrist, having succeeded Rome in that position. So here, Martin Luther, a commentary on the Angel to the Fifth or Sardis Church Age. Such a desperate, thoroughly evil, poisonous, and devilish lot are these Jews, who for these 1,400 years have been and still are our plague, our pestilence, and our misfortune. Now, of course, this type of information has been totally suppressed by the Judeo churches. Not even the Bible believing churches, not even the Protestants, not even the Lutherans even know that Martin Luther wrote such a book. How is it possible for this book to be suppressed? Well, there's only one group that would be interested in suppressing this book, and you know who that is. The website owner says here, next, Jewish authorities are well aware of the two phases of Luther's ministry, that wherein he wrote his Jesus Christ Was Born a Jew. And we won't go into it, but let me just say really quickly, the Hebrew word for translated as Jew is Yehudi, which simply means a Judahite. It's a racially specific word. But the Greek word is Judeos, which means Judean. By that time, it's only a reference to the territory of Judea. It's not a direct reference to that racially exclusive tribe of Judah. So it has two different meanings, and Martin Luther was not aware of this. So Martin Luther assumed that the Jews as a people are descended from the tribe of Judah or from all 12 tribes, and that's not the case. We know that's not the case, but Martin Luther didn't know that. That wherein he wrote his Jesus Christ Was Born a Jew, filled with sympathy for their long unbelief, which he laid on the unsympathetic attitude of the Roman Catholic Church. In other words, he thought that the Roman Church was mistreating the Jews. No, it was the other way around. Luther's study of the Talmud became the dividing line. He read Hebrew, folks. He was a Hebrew scholar. And when he got his hands on a copy of the Talmud, he was outraged, absolutely outraged. His second and last phase was one of warning against the self-styled Jews as of Christianity and of Christians. Not sure what that means. After Luther became conversant with the Talmud and the ritual cursings of Judaism, he declared that a person who condoned such blasphemies partakes of them. Indeed. And since we know that they're not of Israel anyway, we know they're of Edom and other non-Israelite tribes. Nevertheless, Martin Luther discovered what they really believe in their Talmud. And so here are some choice quotes from Martin Luther. I had made up my mind to write no more either about the Jews or against them. But since I learned that these miserable and accursed people do not cease to lure to themselves even us, that is the Christians, I have published this little book, so that I might be found among those who oppose such poisonous activities of the Jews, who warned the Christians to be on their guard against them. So he's warning Christians to be on our guard against the Jews. I would not have believed that a Christian could be duped by the Jews into taking their exile and wretchedness upon himself. Why would any Christian want to be a Jew or behave like a Jew. That's because Christians are ignorant of what the Jews really are and what the Jews really do. However, the devil is the god of the world, and wherever God's word is absent, he has an easy task. That is, the devil has an easy task, not only with the weak, but also with the strong. May God help us. Amen. May God save us from the Jews. Quote, he did not call them Abraham's children, but a brood of vipers. Matthew 3:7. Ah, the awakening. If Martin Luther can wake up, why can't the rest of Christianity wake up? Well, they don't know that he even wrote this book. Oh, that was too insulting for the noble blood and race of the Jews, and they declared, he has a demon. Matthew 11:18. Our Lord calls them a brood of vipers. Furthermore, in John 8:39-44, he states, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. You are of your father, the devil. It was intolerable to them to hear that they were not Abraham's, but the devil's children. Nor can they bear to hear this today. Amen and amen. If Luther were alive today, he would be Christian identity. Quote, they are the real liars and bloodhounds who have not only perverted and falsified the entire scriptures from beginning to end. What have we been teaching you, folks? Could it be that Martin Luther was the first identian because he turned against the Jews and stayed with Yahshua Messiah against the Jews? From reading these quotations, it sure sounds like it. He woke up toward the end of his life. They are the real liars and bloodhounds who have not only perverted and falsified the entire scriptures from beginning to end and without ceasing with their interpretations, that's the Talmud, and all of the anxious sighing, longing, and hoping of their hearts is directed to the time when someday they would like to deal with us heathen as they dealt with the heathen in Persia at the time of Esther. Of course, he misunderstands the book of Esther. Because it was really the Judahites who took vengeance on the Amalekites and the Edomites. And Pastor Steve has a great series on that. And Pastor Steve and I read the book of Esther from the Septuagint, proving that the name of Yahweh was in there. And it's one of the most tampered with books by the Jews. And he continues with the book of Esther. Oh, how they love the book of Esther, which so nicely agrees with their bloodthirsty, revengeful, and murderous desire and hope. Yes, they used the book of Esther for that purpose. The sun never did shine on a more bloodthirsty and revengeful people as they, who imagine to be the people of God, and who desire to and think they must murder and crush the heathen. And the foremost, well, what are they doing today, folks? What are they doing today with all the wars they have staged, with all of the false flags, with their medical mafia making us sick, with their control of education destroying our minds, with their chemtrails destroying our health, and with vaccinations? Everything they do is evil, evil, and more evil. There's not one good thing I can say about the Jews, and neither does Martin Luther. I would not have believed that a Christian could be duped by the Jews into taking their exile and wretchedness upon himself. That's what, and you have these messianic Christians who want to be Jews. It's amazing. Continuing with his comments on Esther, and the foremost undertaking which they expect of their Messiah is that he should slay and murder the whole world with a sword. What are they doing today, folks? This is prophetic. As they at first demonstrated against us Christians and would like to do now, if they only could. have also tried it often, have been repeatedly struck on their snouts. Pig snouts. Their breath stinks for the gold and silver of the heathen, since no people under the sun always have been, still are, and always will remain more avaricious than they, as can be noticed in their cursed usury. The whole world is stinking from usury. The Judeo-Christian churches are stinking from usury. They all believe in it. They all practice it along with the Jews. And they've become liars and thirsty bloodhounds, consumers of human flesh, and destroyers of the human genome. Yes, the churches are complicit with the Jews in this today. They also find comfort with this. When the Messiah comes, he shall take all the gold and silver in the world and distribute it among the Jews. He's quoting the Talmud. Thus, wherever they can direct scripture to their insatiable avarice, they wickedly do so. Did this man know the Jews or what? Therefore, know, my dear Christians, that next to the devil, you have no more bitter, more poisonous, more vehement an enemy than a real Jew who earnestly desires to be a Jew. There may be some among them who believe that the cow or the goose believes, but all of them are surrounded with their blood and circumcision. In history, therefore, they are often accused of poisoning wells, stealing children and mutilating them, as in Trent, Wesensee, and the like. Of course, they deny this. Be it so or not, however, I know full well that the ready will is not lacking with them if they could only transform it into deeds in secret or openly. What are the Jews doing today? What do you think abortion is, folks? The Jews invented abortion. They invented vaccination, or at least its modern form. Jonas Salk was a Jew. And this forced vaccination schemes that they've been trying to impose upon us, fortunately, the people have resisted forced vaccination. Although just recently, I forget what state it was in, I think it was South Carolina, a mother was sentenced to jail because she refused to have her child vaccinated. And then the court ordered that child to be vaccinated while she was in prison. This is what's coming, folks. California has mandatory vaccination. I'll leave it at that. A person who does not know the devil might wonder why they are so at enmity, Genesis 3:15, with the Christians above all others, from a man who didn't realize the meaning of Genesis 3:15. For which they have no reason, since we only do them good. For which they have no reason, since we only do them good. They live among us in our homes, under our protection, use land and highways, market and streets. Princes and governments sit by, snore, and have their maws open, let the Jews take from their purse and chest, steal and rob whatever they will. Why? Because they get a cut. That is, they permit themselves and their subjects to be abused and sucked dry, and reduced to beggars with their own money through the usury of the Jews. For the Jews, as foreigners, certainly should have nothing from us. We don't owe them anything. Why in the world should a Christian nation accept them as citizens? The Jews were always hounding the Christian nations to accept them as equal right citizens. Why should a Christian nation accept Christ-hating Jews with their usury and their evil deeds, give them equal status with the rest of the nation? People who believe the exact opposite of the Christians and have abused Christians throughout history. Well, that's why we put them in ghettos. So they couldn't succor the people. That is, they permit themselves and their subjects to be abused and sucked dry and reduced to beggars with their own money through the usury of the Jews. For the Jews, as foreigners, certainly should have nothing from us. We don't owe them anything. But because they're parasites, and they only can live as parasites. They press us and press us and press us until we accept them into our company, and then the disease begins. And what they have certainly must be ours. Yes, they have stolen it from us through usury and through trickery. They do not work, do not earn anything from us. Neither do we donate or give it to them. Yet they have our money and goods and our lords in our land where they are supposed to be in exile. If a thief steals 10 gulden, he must hang. If he robs people on the highway, his head is gone. But a Jew, when he steals 10 tons of gold through usury, is dearer than God himself. Isn't it clear that the Judeo-Christian of the world today are just as stupid? Or just as flummoxed, deceived as the Christians in those days? It's amazing. Well, Martin Luther would have never seen through Jewish fraud had he not understood Hebrew. Do not their Talmud and rabbis write that it is no sin to kill if a Jew kills a heathen? All right, so the rabbis are still teaching this today. The rabbis in Israel say it is legal to kill a non-Jewish baby because that baby might grow up to be a quote-unquote anti-Semite. Did Martin Luther have these people figured out or what? But it is a sin if he kills a brother in Jewry. It is no sin if he does not keep his oath to a heathen. Therefore, to steal and rob, as they do with their money lending from a heathen, is a divine service. Yes, it's a service to the devil. And they are the masters of the world, and we are their servants, yea, their cattle. I maintain that in 3 fables of Aesop, there is more wisdom to be found than in all the books of the Talmudists and rabbis, and more than ever could come into the hearts of the Jews. There is no wisdom there, there is only cunning. Should someone think I am saying too much, I am saying much too little, for I see in their writings how they curse us goyim and wish us all evil in their schools and prayers. They rob us of our money through usury, and wherever they are able, they play us all manner of mean tricks. No heathen has done such things, and none would do so except the devil himself and those whom he possesses, as he possesses the Jews. Praise Yahweh for Martin Luther and for this book, The Jews and Their Lies. It's simply amazing. Oh yeah, Brother Hebert put in the chat room, Renegade Tribune, Detroit mother sentenced to jail for not vaccinating son. So this happened in Detroit. It's obvious to me that Martin Luther had a great awakening when he read the Talmud. I did too. Most of us aren't aware of the, most Christians aren't aware of the Talmud. But if they were made aware, then they would realize that the Jews are the worst enemy a Christian or any other human being, any other race, and even animals could possibly have, because they are the devil's children, just as Martin Luther finally concluded. And especially Lutherans need to wake up. But this document, The Jews and Their Lies, has been kept from them, even though the lords of the Lutheran Church and the Protestant churches, they know about this book. They simply do not share it with the flock. Bergensis, who was a very learned rabbi among them and by the grace of God became a Christian, which seldom occurs, is much moved that in their schools they so horribly curse us Christians, as Lyra so writes. And from that draws the conclusion that they must not be the people of God. All right. So, incipient Christian identity here. Now behold what a nice, thick, fat lie it is when they complain about being captives among us. Jerusalem was destroyed more than 1,400 years ago during the time we Christians have been tortured and persecuted by the Jews in all the world. Oh, we poor persecuted Jews! On top of that, we do not know to this day what devil brought them into our country. I love it. Okay, now this refutes the claim, and of course we know this in identity, that the Jews, that the non-Jews have some built-in hatred of Jews. If that were the case, the Christians would never let them into their countries. They would make sure that they're kept out. As America, the American people highly resented the coming of the Jews to America. American Christians feared this, that the Jews would subvert America, and that has come true. In those days, Christians understood that the Jews were evil, not God's chosen people. It took the Zionist movement and the Scofield Reference Bible being promoted by quote-unquote scholars such as Oxford University, pushing that nonsense on us until repeating and repeating and repeating until Judeo-Christians finally accepted it. That does not make it true. Let me repeat this. On top of that, we do not know to this day what devil brought them into our country. Well, it was a Jewish moneylender who approached the king or the queen or the duke and said, look at all this gold. You can have some of this at a very low rate of interest. All you have to do to pay the interest is tax the people. We did not fetch them from Jerusalem. Yes, we have and hold them captive, as I would like to keep my rheumatism and all other diseases and misfortunes, who must wait as a poor servant with money and property and everything I have. I wish they were in Jerusalem with the other Jews and whomsoever they would like to have with them. Very important fact. The Jews cannot live among themselves. The Jews always insist in living in our nations because as parasites, they know no other way of living. Therefore, the blind Jews are truly stupid fools. Now just behold these miserable, blind, and senseless people. All right, this is all from reading the Talmud, that he finally understood who and what they really are. Their blindness and arrogance are as solid as an iron mountain. Learn from this, dear Christian, what you are doing if you permit the blind Jews to mislead you. Then the saying will truly apply. When a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit. Luke 6:39. You cannot learn anything from them except how to misunderstand the divine commandments. It is absolutely crucial, folks, that you understand how evil the Talmud is. And yet there's people who consider them to be God's chosen. Absolutely amazing. The first lie is that the Jews are Israel. That's the first lie. And if you believe that lie, you will swallow all of their other lies. That's the con game. Therefore, be on your guard against the Jews, knowing that wherever they have their synagogues, nothing is found but a den of devils in which sheer self-glory, conceit, lies, blasphemy, and the defaming of God and men are practiced most maliciously and vehemently in his eyes on them. Moreover, they are nothing but thieves and robbers who daily eat no morsel and wear no thread of clothing, which they have not stolen and pilfered from us by means of their accursed usury. Thus they live from day to day, together with wife and child, by theft and robbery, as arch thieves and robbers, in the most impenitent security. Why? What enabled them this security? Well, by corrupting kings, queens, dukes, earls, and what have you, and having those monarchs and royalists tax the people to pay the usury on the money they borrowed from the Jews. The Jews sit as their advisors. Impenitent security. This is why in Russia, it wasn't the czars who initiated the pogroms against the Jews. It was the serfs, the local people. Because the local people finally figured out, well, we were happy. We had all the food we wanted. We had homes. We had villages. We had everything we needed. Until the perfidious Jew started lending us money, and then somehow we lost everything we had. Let's kill those suckers. They didn't know that usury was the trick by which they could steal all their money and property from them. All they knew was that before the Jew arrived, they were happy and prosperous. But with the Jew among them, they became poor and miserable. He continues, however, they have not acquired a perfect mastery of the art of lying. Yeah, some of us have figured it out. They lie so clumsily and ineptly that anyone who is just a little observant can easily detect it. But Christians are too trusting. But for us Christians, they stand as a terrifying example of God's wrath. Yeah, you don't want to be like them. If I had to refute all the other articles of the Jewish faith, I should be obliged to write against them as much and for as long as a time as they have used for inventing their lies. That is longer than 2,000 years. Well, actually, the Jewish religion didn't begin until the century before Christ. So he was more accurate when he said 1,400 years earlier. Christ and his word can hardly be recognized because of the great vermin of human ordinances. Yeah, the Talmud, didn't Jesus say? The traditions of men? However, let this suffice for the time being on their lies against doctrine or faith. I mean, Martin Luther is desperately trying to warn the Christians of what the Jews really are. Alas, it cannot be anything but the terrible wrath of God which permits anyone to sink into such abysmal, devilish, hellish, insane baseness, envy, and arrogance. Does he have the Jews figured out or what? If I were to avenge myself on the devil himself, I should be unable to wish him such evil and misfortune as God's wrath inflicts on the Jews, compelling them to lie and to blaspheme so monstrously in violation of their own conscience. What conscience? The only conscience they have is fear. Anyway, they have their reward for constantly giving God the lie. No one should toss out these lazy rogues. Oh, no, comma. One should toss out these lazy rogues by the seat of their pants. We kick Jew butt around here, folks. But then eject them forever from this country. Amen. For as we have heard, God's anger with them is so intense that gentle mercy will only tend to make them worse and worse, while sharp mercy will reform them but little. Therefore, in any case, away with them. There is no living with the Jews, folks. The human body cannot survive when a parasite is eating it from the inside. They are parasites. Of course, Martin Luther did not have the word in his vocabulary. We know about parasites today. And that's what the Jews are. They are nothing but parasites. Why am I thus says, Mein Führer rewrote it. What, the Jews and their lies? Yes, he did. Mein Kampf. Over and above that, we let them get rich on our sweat and blood and tears and being patsies in their staged wars, while we remain poor and they suck the marrow from our bones. I brief, dear princes and lords, those of you who have Jews under your rule, if my counsel does not please you, find better advice, so that you and we all can be rid of the unbearable, devilish burden of the Jews, lest we become guilty sharers before God in the lies, blasphemy, the defamation, and the curses which the mad Jews indulge in so freely and wantonly against the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, this dear mother, all Christians, all authority, and ourselves. They blaspheme us constantly while they claim to be God's chosen people. Do not grant them protection, safe conduct, or communion with us. With this faithful counsel and warning, I wish to cleanse and exonerate my conscience. Let the government deal with them in this respect, as I have suggested. But whether the government acts or not, let everyone at least be guided by his own conscience and form for himself a definition or image of the Jew. And we know, and of course the Jews even admit this fact, that the Jews have been expelled from well over 100 countries and city-states, precisely because of what Martin Luther is revealing about them. They are bloodsuckers. They are parasites. They have nothing but evil intentions, and the only thing preventing them from being even more evil is fear of retribution. Fear. Fear is their conscience and nothing more. He continues, however, we must avoid confirming them in their wanton lying, slandering, cursing, and defaming. Nor dare we make ourselves partners in their devilish ranting and raving, let alone business partners. Unfortunately, too many white people, and even Christians, make Jews their business partners. Nor dare we make ourselves partners in their devilish ranting and raving by shielding and protecting them, by giving them food, drink, and shelter, or by other neighborly deeds. So he's saying Christian charity does not apply to Jews. Therefore, we Christians in turn are obliged not to tolerate their wanton and conscious blasphemy. And Paul even said, we should not fellowship with unbelievers. Accordingly, it must and dare not be considered a trifling matter, but a most serious one, to seek counsel against this and to save our souls from the Jews, that is, from the devil and from eternal death, because that's the only place you Judeo-Christians are going to if you don't stop worshiping the perfidious Jew. What shall we Christians do with this rejected and condemned people, the Jews? Let us apply the ordinary wisdom of other nations like France, Spain, Bohemia, et al., who made them give an account of what they had stolen through usury and divided it evenly. Well, folks, they've stolen the entire world. The entire world. How are we supposed to get this back? When a nation wakes up, they start a war against that nation, bribing another country to invade. The only nation on the face of the earth that has done away with their usury is Iceland. I'm amazed that Iceland is still there. Maybe it's just too small a worm for the global Jews to worry about. But we expel them from the country. For as heard before, God's wrath is so great over them that through soft mercy they only become more wicked. Yeah, they look at us as weak when we give them charity. Through hard treatment, however, only a little better. No matter how you treat the Jews, they're still evil. Therefore, away with them. How much more unbearable it is that we should permit the entire Christendom and all of us to be bought with our own money, to be slandered and cursed by the people who have stolen our money from us, who on top of all that be made rich and our lords, who laugh us to scorn and are tickled by their audacity. And the average Christian has no idea that the Jews laugh us to scorn. What a joyful affair that would be for the devil and his angels, and cause them to laugh through their snouts like a sow grinning at her little pigs, but deserving real wrath before God. Well, Yahweh has assured us that that day is coming, and it's not far off, folks. You can see that the day of judgment is nigh, with all of the natural disasters, wars, hurricanes, everything, and unnatural disasters being staged by the Jews, that this entire world order is going to collapse very soon. What then shall we Christians do with this damned, rejected race of Jews? Since they live among us, we dare not tolerate their conduct. Now that we are aware of their lying and reviling and blaspheming, if we do, we become sharers in their lies, cursing and blasphemy. Thus we cannot extinguish the unquenchable fire of divine wrath of which the prophets speak, nor can we convert the Jews. So stop trying, Christians. With prayer and the fear of God, we must practice a sharp mercy to see whether we might save at least a few of them from the glowing flames. Forget that. He just said, we can't convert them. So forget about it. We dare not avenge ourselves. Vengeance is 1,000 times worse than we could wish them already has them by the throat. I shall give you my sincere advice. Well, we have no obligation to keep them in our countries. But expelling the parasite when the parasitic disease has gone to the brain and to the heart and to the sinews of all the limbs, the Jews have us in total lockstep with their Jew world order, and few are the people who see it. First to set fire to their synagogues or schools and to bury and cover with dirt whatever will not burn, so that no man will ever again see a stone or cinder of them. Well, remember, the Jews controlled the temple when it was destroyed by the Romans. Yahshua said, not one stone of this temple will remain standing. All will be thrown over. And that was because the flames got so hot that the gold on the walls and the curtains and whatever melted and crept into the mortar joints. And Titus told his soldiers, well, if you want to get paid, dig the gold out, right, from the collapsed temple. So they literally took the place apart stone by stone, going after this gold. This is to be done in the honor of our Lord and of Christendom, so that God might see that we are Christians and do not condone or knowingly tolerate such public lying, cursing, and blaspheming of his Son and of his Christians. Would that the Judeo-Christian churches had pastors like this. For whatever we tolerated in the past unknowingly, and I myself was unaware of it, will be pardoned by God. But if we, now that we are informed, were to protect and shield such a house for the Jews, existing right before our very nose, in which they lie about, blaspheme, curse, vilify, and defame Christ and us, it would be the same as if we were doing all this and even worse ourselves. As we very well know. So anyone who joins with the Jews is just as cursed. And even Jesus said, those who follow the Jews are twice as evil as the Jews themselves. They're proselytes. Second, I advise that their houses also be razed and destroyed. Well, don't the Jews raise the houses of Palestinians while they're still in them, in the middle of the night, without giving them any warning? What more proof is there that these Jews are vicious, wretched creatures who have no conscience, who revel in the suffering of the goyim? Palestine is living proof of what the Jews really are. The only reason they don't appear so evil in our company is because they want our stuff. And as long as we have stuff for them to steal, the parasite is comfortable. But they're in the process of destroying America as we speak. It's the end game, folks. They're going to destroy everything if they have to, and they will, if they cannot get total political control of our country. Praise Yahweh for the Second Amendment. Praise Yahweh for the great awakening that is happening around the world about the Jews. And praise Yahweh for Martin Luther for writing this book, because he had them figured out. For they pursue in them the same aims as in their synagogues. Yeah, even the secular Jews. As I said, your proselytes are twice the children of hell as yourselves. Instead, they might be lodged under a roof or in a barn like the gypsies. This will bring home to them that they are not masters in our country as they boast. Well, what did Rothschild say? Give me the power to issue a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. It's not a vain boast. But that they are living in exile and in captivity as they incessantly wail and lament about us before God. Yet they rule over us with their usury. Third, I advise that all their prayer books and Talmudic writings in which such idolatry, lies, and cursing and blasphemy are taught be taken from them. Yes, and they must be preserved as evidence against them. Fourth, I advise that their rabbis be forbidden to teach henceforth on pain of loss of life and limb. Amen. For they have justly forfeited the right to such an office by holding the poor Jews captive with the saying of Moses, in which he commands them to obey their teachers on penalty of death. Certainly that's an improper interpretation of the Old Testament. Martin Luther should realize that. Although Moses clearly adds, quote, what they teach you in accord with the law of Yahweh. Yes, it must be in accord with Yahweh, and the Talmud is the exact opposite. Those villains ignore that. They wantonly, that's proof that they reinterpret the Bible for themselves. They wantonly employ the poor people's obedience contrary to the law of the Lord and infuse them with this poison, cursing, and blasphemy. In the same way, the Pope also held us captive with the declaration in Matthew 16, you are Peter, inducing us to believe all the lies and deceptions that issued from this devilish mind. Thank you for that just comparison, Martin Luther. Because the Romish Church and the Jews are twins. He did not teach in accord with the Word of God, and therefore he forfeited the right to teach. Amen. But yet, Christians bow at the feet of the learned, wise rabbis who claim authority and have none. Fifth, I advise that safe conduct on the highways be abolished completely for the Jews. I love it. For they have no business in the countryside, since they are not lords, officials, tradesmen, or the like, or farmers. Let them stay at home If you princes and have their resale shops, if you princes and nobles do not close the road legally to such exploiters, then some troop ought to ride against them, for they will learn from this pamphlet what the Jews are and how to handle them, and that they ought not to be protected. You ought not, you cannot protect them unless in the eyes of God you want to share all their abomination. Come out of her, my people. Sixth, I advise that usury be prohibited to them. Amen. During the reign of Byzantium, which was about 1,400, 1,500 years, actually more like 1,000 years, they did not allow the Jews to become moneylenders. They did not allow the Jews to hold any public office. And there were many areas where the Jews were not permitted to occupy. And this was very wise because they understood that the Jews were liars, deceivers, and usurers, and that the Bible forbids such activity. So the Byzantium was a Orthodox Christian kingdom which practiced Yahweh's laws, except the one about making idols. Well, we can forgive them that because they actually kept the Jews under control. Ultimately, however, the Jews actually financed the Muslim invasion against Byzantium because the Jews wanted revenge for being kept down, kept in check, because the parasite couldn't feed heartily on the host. But allowing that parasite to remain in the host was a huge mistake. They should have banished the Jews to places unknown. I advise that usury be prohibited to them, and that all cash and treasure of silver and gold be taken from them and put aside for safekeeping, because it belongs to us, folks. They stole it from us. The Federal Reserve Bank is nothing but a huge, gigantic theft machine. And has always been controlled by Jews, just as the Bank of England and all of the big banks around the world. The reason for such a measure is that, as said above, they have no other means of earning a livelihood than usury. And by it they have stolen and robbed from us all they possess. Such money should now be used in no other way than the following. Whenever a Jew is sincerely converted, but he said above they can't be converted, he should be handed 100, 200, and 300 florins, as a personal circumstance may suggest. And then I would say, leave the country, take this money and get out of Dodge. With this, he could set himself up in some occupation for the support of his poor wife and children and the maintenance of the older feeble. For such evil gains are cursed if they are not put to use with God's blessing in a good and worthy cause. Again, Martin Luther is true to his belief that we must perform good works. We must be charitable. Seventh, I commend putting a flail, an axe, a hoe, a spade, a distaff, or a spindle into the hands of young, strong Jews and Jewesses, and letting them earn their bread in the sweat of their brow, as was imposed upon the children of Adam. Whoa! Is he suggesting that they're not Adamites? Genesis 3:19. Yeah, the Jews, they don't work. All of their money is made by swindling us. Rabbi Schwindler. And in the last 2,000 years, they have only perfected their thievery techniques. For it is not fitting that they should let us accursed goyim toil in the sweat of our faces while they, the so-called holy people, idle away their time behind the stove, feasting and farting. That's right, feasting and farting. And on top of all, boasting blasphemy over their lordship over the Christians by means of our sweat. Yes, we work hard so they can enslave us. No. One should toss out these lazy rogues by the seat of their pants. praise Yahweh that the internet has given us the ability to expose these evil, rancorous, filthy pigs, the Jews, who through nothing but guile and deception, just as it tells us in Genesis 3:1, that beast of the field was more cunning than any other beast of the field. And we're not talking about four-legged beasts of the field. We're talking about two-legged beasts of the field. That Nahash, who was a biped in human form and tricked Eve into laying with it and produced Cain, we understand this. Only we in Christian identity understand this. But it's very plain that the Bible, whether you believe that Eve was seduced by Nahash or not, the Bible from Genesis 4:1 on details the separate bloodlines of Cain and his progeny and Adam through Seth and Seth's progeny. Separate and distinct bloodlines. This is undeniable. Only ignorant readers of Scripture deny it. I wrote a book explaining all this. It's called The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. You can get a copy by going over to www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, and for $37 postpaid, I will send you a physical copy. It's also available in electronic form over at Amazon. And you can purchase a copy there and just click on the bookstore link, the store link over at our sister site, www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. And we're hoping to set up a printer in Europe so that we don't have to pay the, it's a $25 charge to ship it from Chicago to Europe, Australia, South Africa, etc. It's a huge shipping charge. So we're hoping to set up printers that can do the printing locally and save all this cost. So if you're ordering from Europe or Australia, please add another $25 for postage. Okay, so here we see that Martin Luther, once praising the Jews and believing they were God's chosen people, as many people today are deceived by them, finally woke up. And what did it take? It took his ability to read Hebrew and start reading the Talmud to find out what the Jews really think about us and how they blaspheme Yahweh himself with their lies and perversions. It even got to the point where Jews were not allowed to testify in court because they were understood to be such liars that no one could take them at their word. The world needs to restore this attitude toward the Jews, and since they are not citizens, they have taken over our countries by stealth. They must be evicted. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. Thanks for listening. This is Bloodlines for October 15, 2017. Stay tuned for David James. Yahweh bless you all, and goodbye.